I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio. Oh, oh,
oh. Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1, Jimmy Petronas. Hey, Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, y'all. How are y'all?
Oh, we're doing great. By the way, happy Thanksgiving in advance in case I forget to say it at the end.
Okay. I'll say it to you, though.
Oh. Fair enough. Fair enough. Are you, do you cook? Who cooks in your family? You, your wife?
So it's funny. I asked Katie yesterday. I said, look, what do you want me to do regarding Thanksgiving? We're talking about going over to my brother's house, and we'll have all the family over there. But again, I think we talked about it the other day. I'm just wanting to know if I need to fry a bunch of turkeys or not.
But you don't know yet? You're still waiting to find out?
Still waiting.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you're the guy I should come to for advice.
I'll find out, Wendy.
I've never done the fry. I just do it in a bag because you know it's easier, and plus it doesn't cost me $100 worth of oil or $50 worth of oil or whatever it's going to be.
That's right.
We got so much stuff to get to with you. I wanted to start with this: the 492nd relocating to Monthan Air Force Base from Hurlburt. As I remember this story, it felt like at the time Biden administration payback for Trump and or conservatives and or Ron DeSantis and or COVID and or God knows what, all these different things. It felt political at the time. But have you guys been able to make any effort to make this not happen?
So that's it. I don't know if there has been a change in what the Air Force is going to do. I do know that back in August, there was a modification to the EIS, which changed what all would be moving. And a wise friend told me, who's been in the service a very long time, says that there's never been a movement of a mission in the history of the military that wasn't political.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm going to, you know, go down swinging. A lot of the arguments that the Air Force has given for the move, some of which hold water, okay? But I just know the quality of life between Northwest Florida and out in the middle of nowhere near Tucson, Arizona. It's like comparing apples to oranges.
Go ahead.
I would like to try to give every chance I can to keep those missions here. And those families here, those 700 plus families here in Northwest Florida. But this is a decision that was essentially made in 2023 under a Biden administration. And on top of that, we don't even have Secretary of War Hegseth's force protection plan even out yet. So we don't even know what his vision is, if this complements his vision moving to 492.
Now, this particular operation, the 492nd Special Operations Wing, for people who may not know, and you please correct me if I'm wrong, because I was trying to get better information on this the other day, and I found it a little bit difficult. This is primarily the Draco, right? This is the U-28A, the crop duster that's been modified to operate for quite some time in you know with weapons, with surveillance. That's the particular platform that's moving. We're not talking about the gunships. We're not talking about the Ospreys. We're talking about that particular platform. And how many people are part of the 492nd? I couldn't get a good sense of that.
So it's primarily the crop duster. And I've told the secretary, look, I said, take the crop duster. That mission was never here in Northwest Florida, so we don't know any different. Okay? But don't take headquarters. Don't take the Osprey. The Osprey is supposed to be going. The C-130s are supposed to be staying. That was the modification.
The HQ and the Osprey are both part of this. Are part of this package.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. All right.
So we're not done. We're trying. I don't know. I have talked to the secretary about it. You know, they're aware. The good thing about it is we're going to give one more good trying to allow, you know, today's time, today's global environment that we're in, to see if it has an ability to change the direction of where the 492 goes.
Okay.
My concern is we've got a whole different world with what's going on in Venezuela and South and Central America now that we do not have in 2023.
And this is it seems to me, you know, as a civilian, this seems like a perfect platform for that environment. And, you know, closer is better, right? Always closer is better. I wanted to ask you about the sudden, I mean, I know you hate to talk about this Epstein story, and so do I, but it was a massive, as a political story, regardless of what the underlying thing is and regardless of when the files come out or all that, the idea that something would be so incapable of being, like, promised by Trump, then unpromised, then not going to happen, then a couple of turncoats, you know, basically in the Republican Party, force a tidal shift of all but one voting to release it, including you, and then a voice vote in the Senate, and then the president signing up. Like, I've never seen anything like this before.
I think when in talking to Speaker Johnson about this, I know what gave Speaker Johnson a lot of concern with this. It was one, how the bill was written very poorly. There were a lot of elements of the bill that weren't thoughtful if you were going to do some type of a release of document action like this. So I know that was one thing, because I think the speaker's biggest concern is the victims that potentially could be released that did not want to be released. And who those parties are, and are you going to re-traumatize those particular individuals all over again? You had some victims that were out there that were very outspoken, that wanted the documents released, and then you had those who we did not know that did not get that did not want it released. But I've been consistent since the first time. I don't know if we ever talked on the show earlier, but I talked about it on I did several television shows. I've said for months, release the files. I just want to get back to work because it was creating such paralysis in the ability for us to do anything in Washington, D.C. And I think that's probably where Trump ultimately had his head in this thing. You know, he didn't like it. He was frustrated. And look, the president likes to be part of whatever decision is taking place. I think this was something that you know, went back and forth because, again, Speaker Johnson is a persuasive person. He was concerned about people that did not want to be re-traumatized.
Which I think was why the one vote against it, right?
There's some graphic stuff in there, too.
Yeah, which is, I think, why the one vote against it was for that reason, was, you know, this has got no protections for the innocent victims, especially if they were minors at the time and all of that. This offshore drilling business has really got a lot of people very unhappy because, you know, we go to Alabama and we see all the rigs and it's horrible. We, of course, remember the, you know, Deepwater Horizon very vividly and the effect that it had in Northwest Florida. You do, too. And for the longest time, it seemed like we were in a golden, weird confluence because environmentalists didn't want offshore drilling in Florida and conservatives didn't want offshore drilling because of the Eglin test range. And now all of a sudden we're talking about new oil rigs out in the Gulf. I mean, this seems terrible.
I'm not happy. This particular issue, there was a variation of this in public comment back this summer. We wrote a very, you know, clear cut letter of why we felt like this was bad for Northwest Florida. Since then, where that particular proposal was out for public comment, the Department of Interior decided to release a new map last week that now takes up basically the whole entire heart of the Gulf, probably about maybe a third to 50% of the Gulf test range. And then so when we get into this somewhat finger-pointing, because there's a significant number of missions that take place underneath the water. But because, and I'm not sure if I'm breaking any laws. And I keep on being told, oh, there's all these missions take place underneath the water. I've been told that over and over and over, but evidently nobody will come out and publicly say that they are taking place underneath the water because you shouldn't be talking about whatever particular missions could be under research or top secret or under secret or confidential. So, I mean, so this is kind of like a little bit of a chicken. We don't want it to protect the test range, but we won't be public about it because we don't want to admit that something's taking place under the water. So this is we did meet with the Department of Interior last week. They are still moving forward, and we will have a hyperlink that I will get to you later where the public can go in contact. Okaloosa County already came out. The county commission wrote out a former county resolution advocating against. I talked to Mike Kohler earlier this week. He's doing the same thing with Escambia County. So we do need advocacy to come and step up and let people know publicly through this public comment period to let them know your concerns.
Yeah, I mean, I get the desire to have more oil, of course, but like Trump and Hegseth, and I mean, this is a 100% no-brainer. Don't mess with the test range. That stuff is vital to our military development. So I just, and even the part like I didn't had never heard about the underwater stuff, that's news to me. So I, you know, but even just if it was over the air, same basic concern. So we'll see. I suppose, you know, the game's not exactly over just yet. I wanted to, since we're kind of in the military realm a little bit, I was really troubled. I mean, I did not love what the Democrats put out as far as, you know, disobeying illegal orders, but that's just true. I mean, the UCMJ, you know, you're not supposed to obey an illegal order. I wish they would have specified. I thought they were all cowards for not specifying which order to disobey, nor were they willing to specify what they would do to protect people. So that was a flaw in the video. But for Trump to call it seditious and treasonous and, you know, death penalty stuff, and I know he's, you know, he's hyperbole all the time. But
right.
That really bothered me, too, because I thought, no, the commander in chief needs to understand that he can't give illegal orders. Like, that should be a no-brainer, too.
Yeah, I think, and the White House has walked back the comments that the president has made regarding that. But I think as the Democrats went out there and decided to spin things up, you know, of course, Trump sees it. And I think the one thing that probably got Trump elected is the fact that he doesn't have a filter. And so sometimes that lack of a filter and the reality that he speaks his mind when his issue is approached and when he's questioned is what triggered those type of responses. And where sometimes they have to, you know, kind of, it didn't really mean that way.
Somebody comes in and talks to him and says, sir, let's do this a little differently. You know, something that's come up here locally, I don't know if you've even heard about this, and if you have and you have comment, great. If you don't, that's fine. I want to press you. But Mike Kohler, and in a conversation about, public beaches and customary use and Perdido Key, has raised, which I know you're very familiar with where you live, but, you know, same over here. At least I assume so.
Sure.
Mike Kohler has raised the prospect of maybe asking the federal government to transfer Johnson Beach to Escambia County. That seems like, I mean, like a never will happen kind of thing. But have you heard about this? It would have to go through you guys, basically. You know, Congress would have to make this happen. But have you know anything about this, thought about this at all?
And so Mike has reached out to me. He says he's got a stack of things he wants to go over with me. I'm now that you're saying this, I'm certain this has got to be one of them. What we've been focused on, at least more recently in our chats, have been, you know, dealing with the potential threat of offshore drilling. And he's been just really helpful because we'd like to get the county commission up to speed. But I have not had a visit with this specifically to him.
Okay. All right. I was just curious if you did, because it's, like I said, they've been talking about it a little bit, but I'm sure after you talk with them, we'll know a little bit more. Last thing, yeah. The House totally reams the Senate on this $500,000 phone call records thing, this giveaway to these senators. Is the Senate going to go ahead and undo that? Do you have any indication?
So, I mean, this was, I think it was the first bill that I've seen pass at the House unanimously.
Yeah.
Because you know, we felt like this was something that was wasn't agreed to, but then was put in a must-have bill. So I think what you'll now see is we will have a bill that we've sent over, and at some point we'll probably end up expecting something in return from the Senate as part of the negotiation, or the Senate will come back and be agreeable to this. It caught everybody's surprise. And like I said, even the speaker was adamant that we step up and send a message via legislation back to the Senate with unanimous support of every Democrat and Republican.
Yeah, and like you say, I think this first bill we've seen that's been unanimous across the aisle, that's, you know, it's a very, very clear statement. Well, Jimmy Patronis, as always, thank you so much for the time. He's our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I'm just going to plug JimmyHelpsYou.com is a new, easy-to-remember website that will take you straight to us. I've been telling a lot of folks, there's a lot of things that we can do, but you've got to sometimes reach out to us for us to be able to help you. So just check out JimmyHelpsYou.com and just reach out and let us help your constituent issues.
Very good. Thanksgiving. Yeah, and it forwards right to your patronus.house.gov at the moment. I don't know if you have other stuff that you're going to build onto that portal, but it's a very easy way to find Jimmy Patronis. JimmyHelpsYou.com. Jimmy, again, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
See you. Thank you.